I would like very much for you to open your Bibles to Psalm 116. If you have the Bible handy, close by, pick it up, open it to Psalm 116. I'm going to preach mainly from verse 15, which says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That's the main text that I'll be using, Psalm 116, verse 15. But I want to go back and review some of the things that David has said prior to this important text. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now, that's Psalm 116. Now, this is one of those psalms that ought to be required reading quite often. We ought to read it very often. David didn't find these words in a church prayer book. He didn't find these words in a church creed or catechism or even a confession of faith or a constitution. He didn't find these words in a book of systematic theology. These words in this psalm came from his heart. Someone said the man after God's own heart had a heart that was after God. He loved God. He believed God. He rested in God. He communed with God. And these words that you'll find in Psalm 116 is the very outpouring of his heart and his experience and his feelings for his Lord. Look at verse 1. He says, "I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications." This man loved the Lord. It was not the God of his imagination, but it was the eternal living God that David loved. He said, "I love the Lord. I love the Lord God who reigns and rules." Someone asked him one time in Psalm 115 and Psalm 135, they said, "David, where's your God? Where is your God?" He said, "My God's in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, in the seas, and all deep places. And that's my Lord, and I love him. I love the sovereign, omnipotent, almighty God, who doeth all things after the counsel of his own will, worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, who doeth his good pleasure in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" I love the Lord who reigns and rules. I love the Lord Jesus who redeems. And I love the Holy Spirit who regenerates. I just love the Lord. I love the Lord. You notice he didn't say, "I love my God." He said, "I love the Lord. And the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord." Now look at verse 2 of Psalm 116. Does that encourage you to listen a little farther? I hope so. He says in verse 2, verse 1, "I love the Lord." Then he said in verse 2, "I will call upon the Lord as long as I live." I will call upon the Lord as long as I live. What he's saying is, I love the Lord and I'll continue to love him. He's saying, I believe the Lord and I'll continue to believe him. I've called upon the Lord and I'll continue to call upon the Lord. You see, his union with Christ was not a union with an organization. His religion was not a religious system. He loved a person, and he called upon a person. You know, our Lord said to the disciples one time, a whole multitude of people had been listening to him, and then they departed from him and angry. They said, "This is a hard saying you're giving. Who can hear it?" And they left, and he turned to his disciples, and he said to them, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." These men's hearts were knit to a person. It wasn't a way. It wasn't an organization. It wasn't a system. It was a person. And this is what David says, I love the Lord, and I will call upon Him as long as I live. You see, I believe this is the trouble with today's organized religion. This day of high-pressure evangelism. Men and women are busy joining positions and leaving positions. Men and women are busy making professions and then denying the profession. Men and women are being brought into programs and tiring of the programs and leaving the programs. Salvation is not in a position or a profession or a program. It's in a person. The Lord Jesus Christ, the living God. And when a person comes to know Him and is vitally united in a living union with Him and Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, as Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. There's the key. He never leaves that person. That person never leaves Him. I travail till Christ be formed in you. And when Christ is formed in you, you continue in that faith. You continue in that faith. Now he says, I'll call upon the Lord as long as I live. As long as I live. And then look at verse 3. Now listen to this. And I don't mean to be contrary or rude or disagreeable. But somebody needs to sound a clear and truthful, plain note in this day. Because so many deceivers are going about profiting by man's natural religious inclination. David said in verse 3, now here's a man who said, I love the Lord. And he was a man after God's own heart, king of Israel, sweet psalmist of Israel. He said, I'll call upon the Lord as long as I live. And then he said in verse 3, I found trouble and sorrow. He calls them the sorrows of death and the pains of hell. I who love the Lord. I who call upon the Lord. I who am the sweet psalmist of Israel, who wrote most of the Psalms. I, the man after God's own heart, anointed by God's own prophet to be king of Israel. I found trouble and sorrow. And my friends, no one who knows anything about God, about the Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ, no one who knows anything about the gospel will promise a believer an easy road unless he's a fool. I can't promise you as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ that if you know the Lord from now on, you'll have health, happiness, and prosperity. It just is not so. It wasn't so in Old Testament days. It wasn't so in New Testament days. It's not so today. Our Lord plainly said, in the world you shall have tribulation. They'll cast you out of the synagogue. Men will hate you. My brethren, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. There'll come a day, he said, when men will kill you and think they're doing God a favor. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Peter says our faith must be tried. Don't count it strange when you go through fiery trials. Faith, true faith, must be tried by fire. And for all generations and in all the world, of all ages, God's people have suffered. I can take you into Australia and to Mexico and to Africa, places where I've been and preached, and I found people who love Christ, who are devoted to the Word of God, who know the gospel. Many of them live in poverty and want. They have dead babies. They have scarcely enough to live on, and they're godly preachers and godly men who love Christ. But all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And David said, I found trouble and sorrow. Don't be surprised. Don't be amazed when as a child of God you find trouble. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. You see, these divine healers, and I'm acquainted with them, the health and wealth preachers, the people who stand on TV and tell you to make them rich and God will make you rich. That's not a bad deal. But these men rise up And they prosper at the expense of poor people, and often poor sick people. And then they fade away. You ever wondered where these fellows have gone to? Where are some of these fellows that did all the healing back when I was growing up and in my early years? They're new ones all the time, new ones. They rise up, they get rich at the expense of poor people, they retire in comfort, fade away, and then they die of cancer and heart trouble like everybody else. I got amused the other day on television. They were demonstrating how to stay slim and trim, how to work away all of the ugly fat and have a 24-inch waistline. But I noticed all the models, men and women, are 21, 22 years old. I had a 24-inch waistline when I was 21 years old. But I'm 60 years old now. And I notice all these divine healers are in the prime of life. They're all young men and young wives and young children. Very seldom do you find very many of them who are old and decayed and on the way to the grave talking about health and wealth and perfect strength and all of these things. David says, I found trouble. But you know, these fellas, they rise up and hucksters and flesh merchants make merchandise out of people, and they fade away in retirement down in Florida somewhere, and another one comes along, takes their place, and pulls the same con game successfully. It's astounding. But Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute and someone to take his money. Now, God's people know happiness, but it's in Christ. And God's people know joy, but it's in Christ. And God's people know success, but it's in Christ. And God's people know trials and troubles and suffering and sorrow in this world, all ordered by the Lord for His glory and for their good. How would I ever minister to you or sympathize with you if I knew nothing about heartache myself? If I never wept, if I never felt the hand of God heavy upon me, how in the world would I ever sympathize with you in your trials and in your suffering? And then verse 4, David goes on. He said, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, deliver my soul. You see, David knew troubles and sorrows like all the rest of us, but he also experienced deliverance. Deliverance from these trials. He said in verse 8, thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Isn't that just like the Lord? All of this is spiritual here. He says, you've delivered my soul from death. My body will die, but not my soul. It'll never die. He that believeth on me shall never die, Christ said. You've delivered my eyes from tears. My sins are gone. There's no charge or condemnation. And you delivered my feet from falling. He's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. Now, if you can trust the Lord in the midst of your trials, and your faith's not worth a plug nickel if you can't, anybody can rejoice in the sunshine. Anybody can rejoice and wave their hands and cut up when everything's going their way. But the true believer rejoices in the shadow and believes in the trial and continues in faith and perseveres during the tribulation, you'll be delivered. Sorrow, he said, endureth for the night. And there is a night, but joy cometh in the morning. If you can wait on the Lord, He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I called, he said, and the Lord delivered me. In His own time, let patience have her perfect work, and God will deliver you stronger in faith than ever before. But you need that trial, and I do too. Then verse 10, he said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. David speaks here of the foundation of faith. He believed. Whom did he believe? He said, I believe the word of God. Like Abraham, David believed God. I hear people say, well, I know what I believe. Aren't you wording that a, wrong. Didn't Paul say, I know whom I have believed? I know whom I have... Abraham believed God, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And David says here, I believe God. Therefore have I spoken. You see, this is what all of God's servants say. Here's Paul out here on the deck of that ship. The ship's about to go down. And everybody's panicking and wanting to jump overboard. And he says to all these experienced seamen, he says, now men, he said, don't leave the ship. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said unto me, Paul, God's given you all on the ship, if they stay on the ship. Now he says, sirs, I believe God that it shall be exactly as he says. And that's what I believe. That's what David's saying here. I believe God. It shall be exactly as he said. That's what I believe. One day our Lord Jesus Christ, one morning, came down to the seashore. Peter and the apostles had been out fishing, and they were experienced fishermen too. And they'd caught nothing. They'd fished all night, caught nothing. And the Lord said to them, he says, "Have children, have you any meat?" They said, "We've toiled all night and caught nothing." Well, he said, "Back the boat up a little bit off the shore and cast your net on the right side of the ship." And Peter looked at him. They were cleaning their nets then. He looked at him. He said, "Lord, we've toiled all night and caught nothing." But he didn't stop there. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down my net." Now, there's what I'm talking about right there. At thy word, I believe God. And you know, it says in Romans 4, Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Now, this was not written for his sake alone that it was counted to him for righteousness, but for ours also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. Can you? I believe God. And then he says this in verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, most won't. Most people won't come to the Lord. That's right. He said, let another come in his own name, him you will receive. That's par for the course. That's natural man's religion. Let a man come in his own name. The more ridiculous he is, the more followers he has. Jim Jones is a testimony to that fact. The more ridiculous a man is, the more followers he has. But I come in my Father's name, and you will not receive me. You will not come to me that you might have life. But David said, I will. I will come. I'll take the free gift of life. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. By his grace, he's made me willing in the day of his power. I will pay my vows. I will be true to my Lord in the presence of all his people. I will. I'll be identified with him and his people. Not ashamed. I'll be identified. I'll be identified with the Christ. I'll be identified with the gospel. I'll be identified with his glory and his grace. I'll be identified. I'll pay my vows. He's not talking about money there. In the midst of his people, being identified with those who know him publicly. Now notice verse 15. Here's where I've been leading up to. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, it's very easy to see the people to whom this scripture belongs. It's very easy to see the people to whom this scripture belongs. They are the people who love the Lord. David said, I love the Lord. They're the people who call upon him as long as they live. They die in faith. They're the people who believe God. They're the people who receive Christ and call on his name. They're the people who identified with him openly. They're his saints. They're his saints, and their death is precious. Is precious. Now, why is the death of the saint precious? Why is it precious to the saint? Well, now, death itself is not precious. I know that, and you know that. Death is often accompanied by pain, much pain. Death is often accompanied by a decay of the faculties, a withering of the flesh. Death is often accompanied by great tears and sorrow, lingering. Death is often accompanied by much difficulty, especially for those who are left. But Paul says death is gain. For me to die is gain. Gain? How can something so difficult and painful and fearful be gain? Well, he said, I lose an old body and gain a new body. I lose sin and gain perfect holiness. I lose mortality and gain immortality, never to die again. I lose weakness and gain strength. I lose ignorance and gain perfect knowledge. Then I shall know as I have been known. I lose shame and gain eternal glory. I like what Richard Baxter said on his deathbed. Someone came into the room where that great old saint Richard Baxter was dying, and the man walked right up to the bed and he said, Brother Baxter, how are you? And the old man looked at him, weak, dying. He said, I'm almost well, thank you. Almost well. To die is gain, and to die is to be present with the Lord. Now, I want you to think with me a minute. Paul said to be present with the Lord is far better, far better. And he said in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This present time is not worthy, is nothing compared to that time. Now, if you can, you take the time in your life when you were the very happiest, 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 happiest ever in your life. Can you remember? You say, I think I can. That's nothing compared to the happiness enjoyed in His presence. You take the time in your life when you were the very strongest, at the peak of your prime, the healthiest. Got it? That's nothing compared to the immortality and the strength of His image. Take the time in your life, can you? When you were the most peaceful, just at complete rest, not troubled by anything. But you were at rest. Let me tell you, that was nothing. Nothing. Not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Take the time in your life when you were the most satisfied and contented, and you said, I wish this could go on forever. Nothing. Nothing. Now, nothing, less than nothing, compared with the contentment and the joy and the peace in Christ when we stand in His presence and are made like Him. That's what Paul's saying. It's not worthy to be compared. Well, why is the death of the believer precious in the sight of the Lord? Now, that's what this says. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the believer. Well, I can give you several reasons. The first of which is this, because they're precious to Him. Anything that happens to someone who's precious to you, it's precious also. And the people of God are precious to Him. He said, I've drawn you with an everlasting love. I loved you when you didn't love me. And whatever happens to you is important to me. It's precious. And then, not only because they're precious to Him, but because they're His sheep. Why, He chose them and He redeemed them by His blood. He came into the world and died for them and imputed to them a perfect righteousness. That's why Christ came to this world to redeem His sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold. They're sheep, my sheep. I love my sheep. I know my sheep. And then I'll tell you another reason why our death is precious in His sight is because sin is obnoxious to God. Did you know that? Sin is obnoxious to God. And one day God's going to put an end to all sin. But when we die, that puts an end to sin in us. His purpose is to have a people without sin. And He gave His Son on the cross yonder to accomplish that purpose. And when He takes us out of this world, He takes us away from all sin. And then I'll tell you this. Now listen to me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, because God sees things not as man sees them, but He sees things as they really are. Now, we only see what's around us, but God sees that which is around Him. This is my home. This is my body. These are my people. This is my habitation. I haven't seen His home and His habitation. Paul did. He came back and said he saw things that wasn't lawful, heard things that wasn't lawful to utter. But God sees it as it is. He sees it as it is. And that worm in the dirt down there has never known anything but dirt. And I stand up here infinitely in better condition than he is. And I say, oh, little worm, if you just knew how nice it is to be clean and to eat clean food. But he doesn't understand that. And he'd object a great deal if I took him out of the dirt. But if I could take him, the worm, and turn him into a man, he'd be glad to be out of the dirt. And here I am, a worm in the dust. And he says, oh, little worm, if you just knew what it was like here. And I hate to leave my dirt and my habitation. But once he takes me there, I won't want to come back. I won't want to come back. Our home eternal is with him. Our real life is to never grow old, never die. Our joy is to look upon his face. Our family, leave my family, that's my family, the body of Christ. Death is not a penalty, it's a promotion. It's not the end, it's the beginning. It's not to die, it's to live. Now, I have a couple of messages on this one tape. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. And that one I brought last week. If you want them, you write for them. The address will be given you on the screen. Join us again next week, if God leads you to do so. Until then, God bless you.